Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. When we die, or the curtain of history comes down in the second coming. This is the Word of God. It's the promise of Almighty God. It's the promise of the truth of this book. And therefore, we have tremendous confidence in this truth. We don't doubt this truth. It is, in a sense, realized eschatology. We live as if that had already taken place.
The truth is, you can look forward to Christ's second coming. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young shares his message, The Return of Christ, and digs into Scripture to answer your questions about what to expect when the King returns. So stay right there. The Winning Walk is coming right up. Before we get to Dr. Young's message, it may seem like we're living in the end times, but as Christians, we don't need to fear the end of the world as we look to the proven truth of God's Word. Dr. Young wants to help you anchor your confidence in God's promises about the future with his five-message series, End Times. It'll encourage you with the certainty of life after death, the beauty of heaven, and the assurance that Jesus will return for his children. We'll send you a copy of End Times as thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, The Return of Christ.
Open your Bibles, the book of Revelation, chapter number 19. This is after all the words have been said concerning life and death and resurrection and heaven, leading up to the climactic part of this great book. This is a fourfold hallelujah in chapter 19. And we look here only at the sixth verse. Then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. The King James Version of the Bible renders that scripture, Alleluia, the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Would you say that with me? Alleluia, the Lord God omnipotent reigns. This means that we give praise to God because the Lord God omnipotent, all-powerful reigns, rules, is in charge of all of life. Prepare with me as we prepare our hearts for the teaching of His Word. Father, we bow our knee because we open Thy book with great expectation, knowing that we're not just going through some words, but Your Holy Spirit will take Your truth and it will catch fire within us and change everything. Give us new perspective. We'll see farther than we've ever seen. We'll feel deeper than we've ever felt. We'll know more than we've ever known. Lord, equip us, enliven us, speak to and through us, and let me get out of the way, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. If God took each and every one of us, every one of us, over to one side and looked you and me right in the face and asked this very personal, intimate question, how would you answer it? How would I answer it? If he asked this, what is the central fact of your life? In other words, what does your life and my life revolve around? What is that it? What is the essence of you? What gives you meaning, significance? The same with me. How would we answer Almighty God? Well, some of us would say, oh, Lord, you do. He'd say, let's talk about that. Let me see if I'm really the central fact of your life. And then as he looks down in the deep, deep recesses of you and me, we'd say, well, maybe, Lord, it's my family. You know, my wife, my husband, my kids, my relation. Maybe the central fact of my life is my family. And for some, that would be true. Others might say, no, the central essence of my life is my work, it's my vocation. I mean, what I do gives me identity. That's who I am. That's how people know me. That's the heart of the real me. It's my vocation. Others would say, well, it's my health. You know, I want to be healthy. And you've heard it said, and some of us said, well, if you don't have health, you don't have anything else. It's a lie, but we keep saying that. Others would say, it's my pleasure. Now, I'm a hedonist. It's my happiness. It's what turns me on. It's what gives the flesh meaning. That's really what I'm about. That's the basic fact of my life. Some would say that. Let me tell you something. All of home, vocation, health, happiness becomes foo-foo. That's a good biblical word. Foo-foo. Poof. In light of the fact that needs to express the true orientation of a man or a woman or a teenager, let me tell you what that fact is. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. If that's the basic, fundamental, essence, truth about you and me, bring on any agenda of this world. It makes no difference. It's poof. It really is. But if the Lord God omnipotent reigneth, boy, bulletproof, invincible, sickness, health, poverty, wealth, trouble, good times, pleasure, misery, if the Lord God omnipotent reigneth, oh, powerful reigneth, and that's the central essence of you and the essence of me, we are there. You say, well, if that's the central fact of my life and the central fact of your life, when is it going to be a universal fact? And we hear in the Hallelujah Chorus that words of Scripture, the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. When is that going to happen? How would that happen when the Lord God omnipotent reigneth totally and completely on this earth? How does that take place? And then we talk about the end of time. Then we talk about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And that gives us a view of history. You say, well, what is a view of history? A lot of people think history is cyclical. We said that. You say, you know, what goes around comes around. You know, history just repeats itself. Well, you can tell yourself that. It's wrong. The old Hegelian dialectic, thesis, antithesis, synthesis. This idea, this counter idea, and then they come together, another idea. So we have a cyclical understanding of history. Some people believe that's how you explain history. Others think history is just capricious. You know, it's over here, it's over there. This nation, this person, this movement, this invention, this breakthrough, this, you know, it's just capricious. There's no rhyme and reason to history. It's just sort of living out its day and moving along. Others think history is eternal. It is forever. It just goes on and on and on. The Christian view says, in the beginning, God created. And then the Christian view is, you get to chapter 22 of Revelation, come to the last two verses, and you read, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus comes. That's when God, only the Father knows. By the way, all these date setters, let them set all the dates they want. I know the date they set will not be the date, by the way. That's just, you know. But the Father knows that the Lord Jesus Christ will come and bring down the curtain of history in his second coming. That's the book ends, isn't it? Beginning, end. Timelessness. Time is created by God. It doesn't really exist. Timelessness. And that's what we're about. Jesus Christ comes and enters this world. And by the way, the Bible says more about the second coming of Jesus Christ than it does about his first coming. There's more about him coming back on the Mount of Olives than about Bethlehem. There's more about the second coming than about him choosing God's peculiar people, the Jews. It's mentioned more than 300 times in the New Testament, the second coming. The most prominent way we know it is when we pray the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. That's what we pray. And then the familiar passage in John 14. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. When we die, or the curtain of history comes down in the second coming. This is the word of God. It's the promise of Almighty God. It's the promise of the truth of this book, and therefore we have tremendous confidence in this truth. We don't doubt this truth. It is, in a sense, realized eschatology. We live as if that had already taken place. You might remember in 1989, over 30,000 people were killed in Albania through an earthquake. 1989, over 30,000. In 4 minutes, whew, all were killed, 30,000, flattened much of that country. A man, after the shaking stopped, ran to an elementary school where he had a son. And he went there, and in his mind, he was thinking what he'd promised that son. He told that boy all of his life, I'll always be there for you. You know, I'll always be there for you. And he went to that school, and the school was flattened. They were crying and lamenting all around that school. And he went over to the area where he knew his son's classroom was, and other parents were there, and they were trying to uncover the rubble, and they said, it's no use. It's no use. But he dug in. He worked for 4 hours and 5 hours. He was exhausted. His hands were bleeding. He was dirty, and he got other people to help. He worked for 18 hours straight. Most everybody else dropped out, but he remembered the promise he'd made to his boy. He kept digging. A policeman tried to pull him away, say, it's no use. Look how flat. They're all dead. We hear nothing. They're dead. He said, no, I promised my boy 30 hours, 34 hours without stop. Finally, 38 hours, this beaten, bruised, exhausted, empty man pulled back a big bolter and he heard a little sound. And he said, Armand, Armand. And a voice came back and says, I'm right here, Dad. He said, I told all the gang down here, and other children began to talk and laugh and say, yes, yes. He said, I told all of them that you told me that you'd always be there for me. And I told them, I said, if my daddy is alive, he's going to get us out of here and save me, and he's going to save all of you. That's the promise we have in Jesus Christ, that he will come and take us home to be with him. Now, we start talking about the second coming. We ask, well, what about the signs of our time? And I want you to look on your screens, and we see signs of our time. What preempts? First of all, we see moral decay. Look at it there. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 4. Anybody want to debate about moral decay today? We don't have to spend a lot of time there, do we? We could stand up and give our testimony. Well, anyway. Moral decay. All right, look at the next one. Natural disasters, Matthew 24, 6 through 7a. By the way, there are numerous scriptures behind these. These are just a little bitty. Natural disasters, what about natural disasters? We have them. So, well, we know more about them now. No, they seem to have proliferated history in the last 20, 30 years. Political revolution, Matthew 28, 7b. Do we see an upheaval of politics, kingdoms, nations all around our world? Absolutely. Look at the next one. Persecution of Christians, Matthew 24, 9. You say, well, I don't know if Christians are being persecuted. Let me tell you something. In the 20th century, more than 20 million Christians were martyred because they followed Jesus. More people were martyred and killed for the cause of Christ in the 20th century than any other century in the history of Christianity. So we're seeing persecution of Christians, and it continues in the 21st century. It continues. Apostasy, Matthew 28, 10 through 12. People who say, I'm a Christian, but man, when the pressure comes on, they're not a Christian, and their life doesn't match their profession. Someone said to me this week, when are we who are called Christians just begin to live like Christians? Wouldn't that be nice? Just, I'm a Christian. Wouldn't it be nice if you and I would live like that which we profess? Apostasy. Look at the last one we'll deal with. Signs of our time. Rise of the Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians 2. Antichrist. He was identified with Nero. He's been identified with Hitler, with Stalin. There's always those who identify. The spirit of Antichrist we know in the world, but the Antichrist will come. These are signs. And then we talk about the second coming. We have all of these questions. Look at the questions that you hear. These are a few of the questions. Look, will Jesus return physically and reign on earth for 1,000 years? Will Christians go through a 7-year tribulation? Will the second coming of Christ occur at the same time that believers meet Christ in the air at the rapture? Will Christians be raptured, removed from the earth? And other people left behind. What does the nation of Israel have to do with the end times? Now, there's a whole lot of questions here. What about 666? We've got all kinds of questions. And ladies and gentlemen, I'll not answer them all today. Would you believe that? That's amazing, isn't it? But what I want us to do is to look at some of the biblical positions that have been taken to help understand and explain the end of time, the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, let me open by saying some of you have already made up your mind. And I've seen people who are mad about it. There are two extremities. There's the Fruit Loops on the one side that every time Netanyahu coughs, you say, look, 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 there's the end of time. There's a sign. I found it in Ezekiel chapter there. And we're always looking at every little historical thing and saying, oh, man, look at this happen, boy, there. And then you just totally Fruit Looped out there somewhere in the reading the signs of our times. That's one group of Fruit Loops. There's a second group of Fruit Loops who say it doesn't make any difference about the second coming of Jesus Christ. You know, he's going to come, and I'm not. That's Fruit Loopy too. So you got both extremes. Then I hope we have a biblical position and we have some choices here. And if you've already decided because you read some book or did some study, these four positions are backed up with strong biblical scholarship, every one of them, by people who believe in the authority and the inerrancy of the scripture like we do, every one of them. So be careful as you jump out there and say, well, that's not true. Like somebody says, well, you know, I don't believe the church is going to go through the rapture. On what basis is that? A biblical basis? I'll hear that. Just because we don't want to go through the rapture of the church, or we think that, you know, we'll be there. All of these things, folks, you can't nail it down totally and completely. But here are some classical views. Look at your screen. I want you to see them. I'll run through them fast. One is amillennialism. What is the ah about? It means no millennium. No millennium. Look at this view here. You have Satan's power is restrained. Jesus Christ comes. He dies on the cross for our sins. Then you have what? You have the millennial reign. And they believe the millennium of 1,000 years is just a symbol. It's a symbol of a long period of time. It's not an exact 1,000 years. Understand that. It's like the number 6 is an incomplete number. Number 7 is a complete whole number. So it's used as an indication of time. That's how they interpret the 1,000 years. Not indefinite. And you have the church age, you have tribulation mixed in, that's the persecution, and finally you come, the second coming of Jesus Christ and final judgment. It all happens in one package. Jesus Christ comes, there is the rapture, there is the church, the dead in Christ, there's the marriage feast of the Lamb, etc., etc., the new heaven, the new earth, it all happens, bam, one time, one place. By the way, there are variations of all of these under each one of these, incidentally. So here we have no millennium. There'll be no millennial reign. It all happens in one package. Well, who in the world believes that? Well, all of our church fathers believed it. Luther, Calvin, Zwingli. Roman Catholic Church basically believes this, or at least the next one.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Colossians 3:16a. A young boy told his dad that he had studied the 23rd Psalm and the Beatitudes, but he knew he didn't remember all the verses. And he wondered if reading the Bible was worth it. The father said, "See that waste basket? Take it out back and fill it with water." It was made of wicker, so when the boy tried to fill it, the water ran right through the basket. He came back in and said, "Dad, that basket won't hold water." Then the father told the boy to look inside the waste basket and see how clean it had become. He said, "That's the way it is with God's word. When you read it and study it, it passes through your life. You won't remember it all, but it will clean up your life. It will clean up your act."
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has been a source of encouragement for you, and we'd love to help you anchor your confidence in God's promises by sending you Dr. Young's 5-message series called End Times. There's a lot of confusion in our world about what the future holds. As Christians, far too often we look for confidence in daily headlines instead of trusting God's promises. Dr. Young's 5-message series will help you grow in your assurance of what the Bible says about the future. You'll gain an in-depth understanding of topics such as death, the second coming of Christ, the great judgment, and the promise of heaven. We're excited to send you a copy of End Times as thanks for your gift to help keep The Winning Walk strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to give and request your copy. 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. Thanks for listening in today. Join us next week as Dr. Young shares more proven truth to help you use your time well before Christ's return. That's Monday on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Have a great weekend.